episode 171 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, Laura, and Elizabeth. Recently, Donna got the privilege to go check out Club Med Val Thorens in Val Thorens, France, to see the slopes, tour the resort, and learn about how Club Med really does all-inclusive. She flew into Geneva, Switzerland without any luggage.
It was not a good flight.
And got to see the Christmas market in Montreux, Switzerland as a short side trip. So I am really excited to hear all about this. Tell us about this trip, because I don't think people know you can do an all-inclusive ski trip in Europe.
Yeah, I was really quite amazed. I got invited to go with a fellow travel agent. It was actually not even my trip, but I was lucky enough to be able to accompany her as her guest. And what you think of when you think of the Caribbean, you think of, you know, alcohol and
alcohol.
Meals and all, yeah. And, all and everything that is included, that's what you get, but you get it when you're skiing, which, you know, okay, so
seems like a recipe for disaster.
Say, you know, Vail or Aspen or Snowmass or Park City or wherever, you're having to rent gear, you're having to buy your lift tickets, you're having to buy all your meals. If you get a lucky enough to get an apartment or a condo with a kitchenette, you get to cook. But this is everything. So it really was a fantastic deal. When you really think about, you know, what it costs,
yeah,
it's actually, sometimes you save money by flying all the way to Europe.
Yeah.
So is it like old school, I'm thinking of Kellerman's Lodge from Dirty Dancing or whatever, where there's one dining room and that's where you eat all your meals? Or are there different restaurants like there are in all-inclusives in the Caribbean? How does that work?
Well, the resort was kind of small. So actually there were only two restaurants, but there were two bars, two restaurants. You had a buffet that was basically open for everyone, but you have to understand this is not a buffet like, you know, Golden Corral.
Right.
Right.
They had a cheese bar.
Oh.
In Switzerland.
I know, a whole bar. And it was not a small spot. And you go and say, oh, I want a piece of that cheese and a piece of that cheese and a piece of that cheese.
Did they have raclette? Yeah,
and you're talking cheese? In Switzerland, just near France. So it's
Yes. But, and then they had, a tap for the beer that was on tap right there. And you just, you know, instead of, you know, filling out your orange juice, you would get a beer glass and fix yourself a beer. Or if you wanted wine, that was included with your meal.
Nice.
So
I have no interest in skiing, but you just sold me on that.
Yeah, I can totally do this.
So yeah, I mean, you're sitting, and that's just the buffet. Mm-hmm. And then they had several stations with dessert, and they had a hot bar. They had a healthy bar, which everything was all organic. They had hamburgers and pizza if you wanted to do that for the kids and all. And that was the buffet. And then the other restaurant was more the fine dining. Now, that did cost a little extra. And they had a whole wine cellar inside the restaurant where they had a sommelier there, and you could figure out which wines you wanted.
So how much extra?
And they were all over France.
Was it a lot extra or a little extra? What's the extra there?
It's about $30 or $40 in euros. So, yeah, it was a little pricey, and we did it one night just to kind of check it out and mm-hmm. see how it was. But if it's a nice special evening and you just want to, you know, to kick it off a little bit, then go for it.
So basically your choice is the buffet or the up-priced restaurant? That's the only two?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then, like I said, there's a wine bar inside the Epicurious restaurant. And then there was actually kind of a dance club bar that you could go to and and get drinks, and they'd make you whatever you wanted, and then of course they had two or three beers on tap, and then they had several beers in the bottle. So, I mean, anything you wanted.
And was alcohol included all the time or just at meal times?
All the time. Now, if the bar, but you had to wait for the bar wasn't open all the time.
Okay.
So it was open like from about 3 o'clock on. They had 3 o'clock the bar open because that was après ski. Then you had 4 o'clock tea because of course it's
right
in Europe. So they had 4 o'clock tea, but you could order a beer if you wanted, and it was open until 1 a.m.
So what did you do if you wanted to drink before 3?
Then you have to go to they didn't serve the liquor, but you could get wine or beer in the buffet. Okay. Or Epicurious restaurant.
Okay, so it was just there. It wasn't like the tap wasn't dry.
No. They don't take the tap handle off. Nice.
So there wasn't any alcohol in your room. It wasn't like a mini fridge or whatever, like some all inclusive.
No, rooms were very European style. Okay. So it wasn't even. It was more pallets with a mattress on top. So it was very European. The tub was quite a bit higher than I was used to, which, you know, was kind of a challenge getting over when your muscles are sore. Mm-hmm. So, and it was all open, whereas, you know, Americans like privacy. This was not quite as private.
So it really was, the room was not designed for two colleagues traveling together as much as it might have been designed for a couple traveling together.
Yes. Sounds like. So there was like a big frosted pink window that was between the bathroom and the bed area. So
that's always cracked me up. So what about families, though? Is it family friendly or is it adult only?
Well, this particular resort was really designed. It is a family friendly or family. Friendly is not the right word.
My kids are allowed.
Kids are welcome. But they really didn't expect anybody that was less than a teenager there.
Okay.
And it really wasn't designed because there was no kid stuff to do. Now, they do have other resorts that are a lot more kid friendly. Okay. They've got kids clubs and kid ski lessons, things like that. That's all included too.
Oh, that's nice.
Your ski lessons.
Yeah.
And all of your gear.
Now, were you close enough? I mean, you know, some all-inclusive resorts have sort of sharing privileges where you can go to the ski resort next door and use it. Are there club meds close enough to each other where you could do that, or is that not done?
Not in that area, no. It was probably a good 20 miles to the next resort.
Okay. I do know club med does that.
Didn't even see it. But we saw the exit for it. So.
We know it's there.
And that was the kid-friendly. That was the more really kid-friendly resort.
Was there any other activities besides skiing?
Yeah. Well, you could go snowboarding. But in the village, now the resort didn't do this, but in the village you could go snowmobiling. You could go snowshoeing. Now, of course, that's through private contractors, so that is extra. Because that's not part of the resort. They basically handle skiing and snowboarding.
No tubing?
No, they don't have... Tubing wasn't anywhere. I guess that's just an American thing.
That's an American thing. Like, yeah. Shitty Americans. Yeah,
I guess so.
I thought they might have... in some old ski resorts in here, they have the old toboggan chute.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They have tobogganing, and they have luge and things like that you could do, and you could do ski jumping, but it just wasn't there at the resort.
Did you do ski jumping, Donna?
Oh, hell no.
I've done it on Wii Fit.
I am a bad skier. I'm a really bad skier. I've been skiing for 15 years, and I still ski green.
You're probably the best skier of an Outlander Travel.
Yes. I don't think that's a problem. Well, no, Laura skis. Laura skis.
If we had to pick someone to ski in the Olympics, it would probably be you.
So. I could ski with Laura.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But honestly, the biggest thing was the convenience of all of it, because, you know, I put on my boots in the morning, not my ski boots, my regular boots, basically go down about two floors into the ski room where they have all of your gear, and then you have a locker. You put your ski boot, your regular boots in the locker, you put your ski boots on, you walk about 30 feet, and you're at the slopes.
Nice.
That is nice.
And then they give you a shot to kick off the day.
I could totally do that.
How is this safe? What is there a shot for? It's crazy.
They don't have the litigation that the U.S. does.
I got a shot of vodka the first day and a shot of this stuff called Genesee, I think, and it's a herbal liqueur that basically was supposed to warm you up on the inside.
Did it work?
It's kind of like alcoholic immune boost.
There you go.
Immune body.
I feel like I could do everything.
And then you come back at the end of the day and they give you lots of shots before you walk in the door.
I could do all of this except for the, like, skiing part. Yeah. Like, if I could walk to the door in my ski boots, take the shot, and then just go back to my room and sleep for a while, and then come back and look like I came in from skiing and take some more.
Yeah,
I could totally do that.
Donna, is there anything on the resort for people like myself and Elizabeth who have no desire to go play in the snow? Is there a spa?
Yeah, I was like, what Lindsay is trying to say is there a spa?
Yes,
there is a spa. And of course, they do massages, and they have a what they call it, a hammam. It's kind of like a steam room. Or a sauna, and then they also have, of course, a gym, so you can work out every day, and they do teach classes. They actually were teaching CrossFit classes and Pilates and things like that, so you could take a class if you wanted to. And that's the thing about Club Med, it's athletically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all about fitness. There was a rock wall in the lobby.
Wow.
Nice.
A pool?
Inside. Rock wall.
Rock wall.
Inside pool.
No, there's no pool, but there was a hot tub, and you could rent it for the evening with a bunch of friends.
So you could privately reserve the hot tub.
Yes,
that means that it could not be available for you because someone else reserved it.
Correct.
And is it outside in the snow or is it inside?
It was outside into the bar.
Oh. Convenient.
How much was that, Donna?
It was like $60, and it would fit like 8 people in it. Oh, and you know, there were a bunch of us that wanted to throw in like $10 to sit in the hot tub all night and drink wine.
I would have paid for that every night. Yeah, I would have been like, "It's mine all week, you losers."
Yeah.
You could do excursions during the day, isn't that? You can go down and ride a snowmobile or do a luge.
Yeah, before I could sleep.
One of the conditions were so bad that I just really didn't want to go out. And so I put my boots, my regular boots on, and I took the gondola down to this little restaurant and sat there and drank beer. And then I rode the gondola up the mountain just so I could get a view. And then we had whiteout conditions, so I rode it back down.
Wow.
And then had another beer.
That's pretty cool.
Anything like a library or anything like that? Or game room, or
not really, because this was not really it's not real super kid friendly.
Puzzles.
You know, so what I'm hearing as she describes this is it sounds like there's going to be a lot of active people who are going to be out skiing and doing other things, and so the common areas will probably be empty. So it'd kind of probably be perfect to bring your own.
It's quiet, yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. And like I said, the bar opens at 4 at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so you can sit there and sit in the bar. And they put out appetizers and things at 3 o'clock, so you can, you know, get some snacks and stuff like that, and just sit there. And they got music. They've got some shows that they play at night, dancing shows and things like that. So there's some entertainment.
So yeah, Elizabeth, I'm seeing a future for you guys. Sleep until about 10, get a shot, ride the gondola up the mountain to have pretty sights, ride it back down, go to the sauna, get a massage, and then it's time for the bar to open.
I have always said that I could totally après-ski. I am all about the après-ski, and that's never been a question.
The interesting thing is that they really encourage their employees to hang out with you.
Huh. Wow.
So after, I mean, we were sitting there having lunch one day, and one of the employees came and asked if he could sit down, and he joined us for lunch. In the bar at night, all the employees are sitting there, you know, talking to you and conversing and quote, buying you drinks.
So they're making the two ladies feel very, very comfortable and
entertained. And really encourage him to socialize.
Yeah, nice.
Well, I'm wondering if some of that is because, you know, like if they live at the resort, if it's 20 miles from anything else.
Most of them do.
Yeah, they live there.
Yes, because it's a very tiny little town at the top of a mountain. It's the highest altitude ski resort in Europe.
Oh, wow.
So we were at 2,600 meters.
Wow.
That sounds beautiful to me.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one night we decided we wanted to go out bar hopping, so we went to the highest bar in Europe.
Ah, cool. Did you get a t-shirt?
No, they didn't have t-shirts, but it was about a good probably quarter mile, half a mile from the resort.
And how did you get there?
Hoof it.
Really? You had to walk?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's shuttles, but I honestly didn't know how the shuttles worked. So
that would have been me, too.
I'd be like, I'll find the bar.
Let's just walk it. Okay, so we have to actually discuss this part, even though Lindsay and I really could care less. How are the slopes? Was there a good variety of skill level and...
Conditions were fantastic. They had greens, blues, blacks, double blacks, and reds.
Ooh.
So they had heliskiing too, if you wanted to go heliskiing. Wow. So they really had all levels.
What is heliskiing?
Would you jump out of a helicopter? Lindsay.
Was that included, Donna? That's included?
Oh, I don't do this. The mountain. And then they drop you somewhere. This is the stuff that Dan Miller does.
No!
Like Soarin', when they jump out of
that. Do you pay extra for that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to pay for the gas for the helicopter.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get a helicopter, I would think it's more.
You ski through virgin snow. You're out there all by yourself.
That's actually, Sandy is exactly right. How do you think those skiers got up there in the old Soarin' over California? How do you think those skiers get up there?
Yeah.
That's heliskiing. They take them up there by helicopter, drop them off, and then
they jump out of the helicopter.
I can just go in the helicopter ride and come back.
You're like, I'm not jumping. Change my mind.
So they have all levels, all skill levels. And that's the great thing about Club Med is they provide you an instructor for whatever level you are. And if you don't really need instruction, they're your guide. Basically just to take you out for the day. Cool. So, yeah, there are groomed trails, there's backcountry trails, there's no trails at all. But we're high enough above the tree line, there are no trees. So you don't have to worry about hitting a tree.
That's good. Really nice.
Yes. So we stayed on the groomed trails, mostly greens. I did do a blue my first day, and it killed me. I did one run was an hour.
Wow.
That's how long the runs are. Oh. And so we did the runs, and we took pictures and everything, and, I mean, conditions were just fantastic.
I have a question about, I know everything's included, and your bibs and stuff like that. So for like a plus size person in Europe, do they have stuff that fits everybody?
Well, I can tell you this. I'm not a small woman. And I had, like I said, my suitcase got lost.
Right.
So I had to buy all new gear. And we started out in women's sizes, the largest they came. And we ended up in men's sizes. I ended up with a 4X bibs in men's.
Oh, wow. Gosh. And you're not a large woman either, though, Donna. That's
you're not even a plus-size woman.
Yeah.
I know. And a 2X men's coach.
See, that would rule me out right away because there's no way none of that would fit me.
So that's... Lindsay, there it is. We'll go, but we can't ski.
So...
I'm not skiing.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't provide your snow bibs or anything?
No, you have to have your own gear as far as your clothing, but they provide all your your boots, your skis, your poles, all of that.
So you would have to have your own bibs anyway.
Yes,
and you had to buy a 4X in men's. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I don't wear snow bibs.
Did they even go any higher?
Yeah. Yes, they do. They do.
There are big European men, so that's what we can say. Big and tall.
We're talking about French men and Italian men around this area, so they're like 4'5".
That's a good point.
Around.
So I have another question. I'm assuming that this is open year round. So would you see someone going here in the summer? Is there like, I mean, is it open in the summer and? Is there stuff to do?
Yes.
Okay.
They have, just like you do in Breckenridge or Deer Valley or things like that, they've got mountain biking, and the Val Thorens Resort is actually in a national park. It's right on the edge of a national park. So they have nature stuff and mountain lakes and, of course, lots of fresh beer around.
There you go. Now
there you go. So yes, so there's lots of things that you can do. You can ride the gondolas and things like that. Do lots of mountain biking and, you know, hiking and things like that up in the mountains that you could do just about anywhere.
So outdoorsy, still very active kind of trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you brought up
Is there any, like enrichment activities or anything like that? Any lectures or nothing.
No, this is fun, and you worry yourself out during the day, and then you drink all night.
So you've brought up Colorado and Utah a couple of times. So that, and I remember actually there was an episode of The Amazing Race a few years ago where they went to Switzerland to Interlaken and that area, and the Jungfrau, and there were two ladies who actually, I think they played roller derby actually in Colorado, and they said, you know, we've grown up, we live around mountains, we see mountains all the time, mountains don't usually really impress us, and we have never seen anything like this. Like, they were just talking about how the Alps were just so much more, and the Rockies are nothing to sneeze at. I mean, the, mm-hmm. some beautiful mountains. So did you have the same feeling, or are you still a Colorado girl at heart?
Well, the thing of it is that you're so much higher in altitude. Mm-hmm. So you're way above the tree line in the Alps. And so they're snow covered year round, whereas the Colorado and Utah aren't. It's actually closer to, say, like Rainier or Denali in its majesty, mm-hmm. because it's covered in snow year round, and you've got things like the Matterhorn and Zermatt and that area. So it's just a different feeling because everything's blue and everything's white and it's, of course, it's very French.
Well, there is that.
And there's good cheese.
The cheese is better. The beer is pretty good, but the cheese is definitely better.
Oh, yes, the cheese is so much better.
Yeah. I don't know. Elizabeth, I think we should book that. I think we go eat.
Honestly, when we were in Interlaken a couple years ago, Chris and I were there, and we went up to Jungfrau. We, you know, we walked around. We didn't do anything even remotely like skiing, but we were on the same train with all the skiers, and they're putting all their skis in the back. You know, this is late March. I mean, it's kind of late, and they're putting their skis in the back, and we go, you know, halfway up the mountain, and we have to change trains and get on another little chuggy train to go up. And there's a big Saint Bernard on the train. Not even kidding, huge Saint Bernard. And we looked at each other, and I was like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And Chris said, this is enough to make you want to go skiing, isn't it? I was like, this would make me try skiing. There's something, I mean, it's just so, the snow is so clean and so white and so everywhere and so smooth, and there's no trees. It's, you know, it just seems much less threatening. And there were times where we're taking the train back down where you could see like two ski lines where somebody had clearly just, you know, blazed their own trail all by themselves, you know, going down the mountain. So yeah, it definitely, I'm not saying I would ski, but if I'm ever going to be tempted to do it, I think it would be there.
I can't believe you've never even tried it.
No. Huh. No. Putting slippery things on my feet at the top of a mountain, that's ridiculous.
I know, that's crazy. That's like most people jump out of planes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's already slippery, and then I'm going to put slippery things on it.
Most freeing feeling, though. I'm happy a lot in my life, but I am probably happiest when I'm on skis.
Yeah. Well, that night we got there, we got a foot of snow.
Nice. Ooh.
Yeah, so there was fresh powder everywhere. They even, you know, and they were having avalanche control that morning, so the lifts didn't even open. Most of the lifts didn't even open because they had bombs going off.
Wow. See, so, I could quietly enjoy that with a glass of wine from the hot tub for days.
Yeah. Take it in. Yeah.
I'd just be very quiet and peaceful.
My next Outlander trip. Yeah. Is all set.
Well, no, I can't go with you guys because I just have to keep going, shh. Stop talking. I just want to take this in.
You're like, I'm going to rent this hot tub just for myself.
Drink your wine.
No, this may be a weird question, but did they have like amazing down comforters on your bed, or what comfort you bed?
It was a down comforter. And we had our own balcony that we could kind of walk out on. I had to shoo off all the snow. But you'd come in from skiing and you're just hot and everything, and you go sit out on the balcony where there's, you know, a foot of snow and cool off, and then go inside, take your shower and go lay in the bed and watch a movie and cool off and then go have lunch.
I could totally.
Yeah, my sister was married in a ski resort in Portland, Oregon called Timberline. there's a chalet there that you can, actually it's an A-frame, that you can rent halfway up the mountain, and it has bunk beds like four high that are built into the lodge. That's where your guests stay, and fireplace as big as a wall kind of thing. But the first night we all stayed down in the lodge, and I love the down comforters there. It's like, I wanted to get in bed and never come out. And the other thing I loved was that the snow was up to the second floor. So you could open up your window and put your Coke bottle out in the snow thing and close your window, and you come back in to cold beer or cold Coke or whatever.
Wow. I bought cheese and I kept it right by the window. Wow. Because we didn't have a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Are there any more extra things you want to mention? Anything that we didn't cover?
Well, we did. When I got there, we actually took the train over to Montreux for the Christmas market right over there. And it was really beautiful. They had the little cabins, I guess, single room cabins where they had all the food and everything. And you could get your raclette, which is, you know, your cheese fondue.
Melty cheese.
You could get, yes, the yummy stuff. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, all sorts of little, you know, spiced wine shops where you could basically get the hot wine. Mm-hmm. You could grab beer. You know, there was food everywhere. You could get deli meats and things like that that you could purchase. They had a lot of handicrafts with soaps and makeups and lotions and jewelry. I mean, you name it. It was a super festival. And then, of course, they had carolers and singers and Santa Claus. And you were right on Lake Geneva, walking down Lake Geneva.
Yeah,
so
that
it
would be beautiful.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
How far was that from the resort?
It was actually in Geneva. It was about an hour and a half train ride.
Oh, okay. So when you first stopped, you did it, yeah.
Where did you fly into to get there?
Geneva, Switzerland.
Okay, you flew into Geneva, okay.
And then it's about a three and a half hour drive from Geneva to the resort.
And did you rent a car, or how did you get there?
No, transfers are included. That's part of your package when you go with Club Med, is they get you from the airport to the resort and back.
That's very nice.
And so we had a tour bus with all of us coming. There were about 40 of us when we flew in, but I was the only one flying out that early. And so I had a cab all to myself.
Oh, wow.
Going back to the airport.
So,
yeah, but he loved that little luggage you had on.
Yeah.
My luggage showed up 6 hours before I left.
Wow.
Oh.
So, are there any other Club Meds that are on your bucket list now? Don't they have some in Japan that are skiing?
They've got them everywhere, yeah, honestly. No, the one that I looked at that I would love to, you know, way, way, way down the line, maybe the Maldives.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't realize Club Med is still around. But they have Cancun, they have Punta Cana, they have like a acrobat class in Punta Cana you can do, and there's one in Florida too, which is the only kind of all-inclusive you can do. Yeah.
That is the only all-inclusive in the continental United States is Club Med down in Sandpiper Bay, mm-hmm. which is in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Yeah, close to Fort Lauderdale, like the right above that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have an affiliation with Cirque du Soleil.
Yes.
Apricots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they teach that particular resort, they teach trapeze lessons. And
not in Florida, but in Punta Cana, right? You're talking about
Punta Cana. But they Florida. In Florida. I do
they
know
do it
that.
In Florida, too?
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
if I'm not mistaken, they actually used to have a relationship with a circus school that's in Florida, and they changed the Cirque du Soleil. But I could be wrong about that. I could be remembering that
I
wrong.
Thought they only did it in Punta Cana. That's
the
awesome.
Makeup thing.
Yeah.
They teach you how to do all the makeup.
Uh-huh.
That's cool. Yeah. So still out there.
It's nice to have it all packaged that way, too, because I think that's one thing that's really intimidating about ski vacations, especially for non-skiers or people who might want to start skiing, I should say. Because for me, it's not intimidating at all. I'm just not going to do it. But if you wanted to try, it's nice to have it all packaged together for you, because I know even selling ski trips for people, which I've done before, that was a big learning curve. It's like, okay, you need, like you said, you need lift tickets and you need the equipment and what are all the pieces of equipment that you need versus mm-hmm. what you're going to bring with you, and and where are you going to get food, and do you have a kitchen, or are you going to be eating there? Yeah, it's very complicated.
Well, and I love that she said, one of the things I love about going to another country is, even though you said this is all inclusive, sometimes when you go to all inclusive, you don't always get the chance to be with the natives very much, or to mm-hmm. be changed by the culture, and the fact that they have teachers, but they're also your guide. To have a one-on-one relationship with somebody else in that country is a really nice thing, to have that time with them and, to have that they're at that resort and they spend so much time with you. I think that kind of adds another layer to this.
Yeah.
My roommate, Becky, she is a good skier. And so they were doing, blacks and double black diamonds. Were doing off-piste, and she just needed a guide. She didn't need somebody to tell her how to ski. She just needed somebody to tell her where to go.
Wow. That's impressive. She's impressive because she, I remember when we were in Baltimore, she's the one that ate like 20 crabs.
And she's about the size of my little finger.
I know, she's like that teeny one. Yeah. She's
the rest of us were done an hour and a half later. She was still going.
Yeah, she's like, bring more.
And she drank as much wine as she ate grass.
Shout out to Becky. I hope she listens to this.
Yeah. Yeah. So to her.
But yeah, it was, it's a really great program, especially if you've ever had the hassle of going and trying on your skis and then going and picking up your gear and then going to the resort and hauling it from the parking lot and then going and getting your lift tickets and then signing up for ski school and then getting
it well situated.
And then walking in your boots. Yes. Yeah, so, honestly, I do it again in a heartbeat just for the convenience factor.
With the lessons included, this is sounding like it would be a really great way to, for somebody who's never done it before.
Yeah, exactly.
To see. And then if you don't like it, you can watch that bar.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Or even if you did like it.
Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Something like that, yes.
I definitely think it's worth comparing when you add up all that rental stuff that you're going to have to do. And like you were saying, make your own meals, even if you get a kitchen, compare it to, just get over to Europe. If it's like comparable, Europe all the way.
Yeah.
And the only hassle is going through the State Department to get your passport.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it does sound like it's a long transfer too. Obviously, depending on which one you choose, which resort you choose, but there's a little bit of a hassle to get there, I guess. But yeah, it can be that way elsewhere too.
Yeah,
so
that's
most ski resorts are a little bit of a hassle to get to.
That is true, actually. Yeah. In fact, I think way back in when we were still in like the teens and 20s of our show, I want to say we had Heather on from Colorado, and she said that one of the biggest problems people have is getting transfers to their, they land in Denver and they're like, oh,
it's a couple hours
away. It's a couple hours away. What do I do now?
During ski season on a weekend, the drive would normally take you an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it takes you five because of all the traffic.
Yeah.
Another thing to think about. Yep. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Go to Europe. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Fly Away, and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Donna, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!